Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Do you ever wish you could get more from your podcast? Well, you can with BuzzFeed Daily, hosted by me, Casey Rackham.
And me, Zach Safford. On our show, we've got more good news and more pop culture.
More memes and more celebrity tea.
More of everything that's blowing up your timeline and trending on the internet.
Every weekday evening, we're giving you more of what you need to enjoy your day. Because what's life if it isn't to be enjoyed?
Listen to BuzzFeed Daily on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
All right, it's Farrell on the bench. And they're showing the second round of the Masters on ESPN right now at 11 p.m. Eastern. Do people actually watch that when they play it in the day, all day long from 7 in the morning until 5:30 at night, and then they re-air it and people actually watch it late at night, or is that just people that haven't seen it?
Well, you know, there are some people who don't get to watch it during the day. They're at work, etc. on Thursday and Friday. So if you're an avid golf fan and you want to see everything that went down, I can understand rolling that out there. And you know how much this Masters coverage means to ESPN, so they're going to try to get it out there as much as possible. So they promote that all day. You know, the highlight show at 11 o'clock Eastern. Come watch.
Yeah, well,
all the
I
shots
mean,
you missed. There you go.
You said how great point by you, how much they care about it, that the ESPN property, that they care about the Masters. So this is very important to them. So important that they hired two-year-olds to work their cameras on the golf course. I mean, It is. I know I brought it up before, but it is the most annoying thing I've ever watched in my life. 2 days of their crappy camera work. I mean, every time a guy hits a shot, you have no idea where the ball's going because they don't cover it. The camera guys are stoned. I mean, it has been. I honestly think it's the worst I've ever seen a sporting event filmed in my life. Not anything ever could even top it. 2 days in a row, they have butchered the Masters. Don't even tell me I'm wrong. I mean, they have missed every single ball flight. I mean, the guy will hit the ball right down the middle, and the camera guy will show him, like, the ball's going in the woods. Like, it's so bad that I don't even know what's happening. I'm thinking, at one point, I was like, is this even happening? Is this for real? Is this, like, a joke or something? Like, at one time, I literally saw a guy like drop the camera. Did you see that one? When like the guy had it and all of a sudden it was like on the ground. I was like, what is going on here? Is this happening? I mean, it's unbelievable. Stay with us on the bench.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table. with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, so Pharrell on the bench with you. Anyway, so of all the players, and I have to say, before I get into the end of my conversation with you about golf, I'm about had enough of it. I just wanted to say the East Carolina, is that who they played? East Carolina's quarterback is absolutely the worst quarterback I think I've ever seen in my life. I mean, honestly, how many effing interceptions did you throw tonight, bro? I mean, like seven? I mean, have you ever seen anyone throw more interceptions in a football game than that guy? I mean, I looked up every 5 minutes he was throwing a pick. I mean, pick sixes, everything. He threw everything. He is the worst. I only watched the end of the game. I watched the fourth quarter. The guy threw two in that one. I was like, he literally... He threw one in the end zone, and they should have scored, and he threw this terrible pass. But the thing that really got me on that game is they're up 49-10, and East Carolina scores. And then, and I guarantee you,
with 17 seconds left,
East Carolina kicks off to him. Cincinnati gets the ball, and they run the ball, and they ran 75 yards for a touchdown. And, I mean, honestly, they're rubbing it in. Like, and then after the game.
Yeah.
Did you see the East Carolina coach talking to Fickell?
For about a minute and a half, just completely. It was long. They only showed it on this highlight right now. I'm watching it. That's nothing. I watched it when the game ended because I had the coverage on.
And he what do you think he was saying to him?
That lasted for over a minute, him jawing at him, like basically giving him the business and the two and him just sitting there taking it. Like there was really no back and forth. The East Carolina guy was basically telling him how he thought about it. Because everybody had cleared away. All the players were gone. By the end of it, it was just the two of them standing in the center of the field. And he was still going at him.
Because they should have never ran. Now, I understand the kid gets the ball and he goes up the middle. No one touches him. And then he runs for the touchdown. I can see where the kid that ran the ball would want to score. And it's like his big moment in life. Right? But I cannot believe that. I cannot believe that Fickell just didn't take a knee. How in God's name do you hand the ball off for more? And I honestly, like, if I were that coach at East Carolina, I would have done the same thing. Like, what are you doing? You're up 49-17, and you go for more with 16 seconds left in the game? What an insult that is by Fickell and Cincinnati rubbing it in and scoring with 17 seconds left to just absolutely kick them when they're down. You got to be kidding me. That is, I think that's low class. I think that is just absolutely a scummy move by Fickell and Cincinnati. Isn't he the coach? That was the dumbest thing I've ever seen a guy do. How do you not just take a knee in victory? You're in the, you know, game over. Take the knee. Just take the knee. Clock runs out. Instead, he lets him score again? Like, are you kidding me? That's a scummy move. It really is. I don't care what anybody says. You know what? That play right there, that turned me off from that guy right there. Like, I'm done with them. I'm done. I don't care what anybody – Cincinnati, think whatever you want about me. Your coach, what a scummy move that was just now. Letting that – you know, here, let's rub it in their face a little more. Like, honestly, you have to take a knee there and let the clock run out. Who does that unless you're low class? You are a low class head coach when you do something like that. And I guarantee you that's what that East Carolina coach said to him. That's a low class move. It's bad enough you rubbed it in our face all night, but then you put more on it. You pour some whiskey on the wound. I mean, you got to be kidding me, Carver High. Don't even tell me I'm wrong. That's low class scum move. By Fickell and Cincinnati. I don't care what anybody says. You don't do that. It's already bad enough. You beat their ass by 30-something, and then you rub it in their face a little more. I swear to God, the next time I play them, I cheap shot the quarterback. I would literally kick him in the stones, and then when he's on the ground, I shove my thumb in his eyeball and pull his effing eyeball out of his skull. See how you like that? And then I hocker on him when he's on the ground, too. See how he likes that? Because that's the exact same thing that coach just did to that football team, letting them score again with 10 seconds left in the game. That's the lowest form of scum move I've seen in college football in a long time. I don't care what anybody says. You saw it. Tell me I'm wrong.
You are not wrong. He should have took a knee. I don't disagree with you whatsoever. My only thing that I guess
makes
is
me
he's
furious.
Thinking, and I don't disagree, and I don't agree with this line of thinking. I'm going to try to pretend to think to see what he's thinking about. Is maybe,
maybe
if the guy
what?
Breaks, I don't know. There's really no way to
you cannot defend,
to defend it.
It. Take
you
the knee, game
it.
Over.
Yeah, at 49-17, there really isn't much else to say there.
And then they celebrated for 5 minutes and got it unsportsmanlike.
And that's the other thing. The kid goes over and he starts banging the drum over on the side. You know, the kid.
I mean, that's that. I mean, and I didn't even mention that. Okay. So just the move itself, the move of letting them score again was, to me, scum. But then the celebration afterwards that took 10 minutes with the guy banging a drum on the sideline and they're doing photo ops. I mean, how low class is Cincinnati with what I just saw there in the last 10 minutes of that game?
They know that a lot of people aren't watching this game tonight. They are in a situation where they need as many style points as they can get to try to get into the college football playoff undefeated.
Oh, God, don't
and
start
everybody...
with me. Leave those hack-ass scum coach and his scum players out of the college football playoff. That low-class amateur hour football program at Cincinnati, for what they just did, they don't deserve to be in any kind of football playoff. I don't care if they go undefeated.
Remember one thing about Fickle.
I would love to see them get their ass handed to them now in every game they play the rest of the season. I'm done with them after what I just saw. I couldn't even believe what I just saw. I was just sitting there watching it. Do you remember? And I was like, did they just let that guy go 75 yards with no time left? And then they celebrated for 10 minutes? Like, if I were that East Carolina coach, I would have taken a swing at that guy.
Like I said, it lasted a long time. He had him in the middle of that field for over a minute. He was chewing him out. And Fickle was just standing there like with his jaw down, like, he had no explanation for it. But you got to remember one thing about Fickle, Scotty. He's a great recruiter. So yeah, give him a break. He's a great recruiter.
I just want to say, on top of it all, I just hope that over the weekend he gets COVID.
Oh, no.
I hope he and his wife and kids. I mean it. I mean, that was such a low class move. That was so unbelievable what I just saw. I hope his whole family, I hope his mother-in-law gets it too. Honestly, I don't care. If you can be that low class, if you can be that much of a low class head coach, then I can say whatever I want about you, and there's nothing. What are you going to do to me? What are you going to do to me? Oh, the whole city of Cincinnati doesn't like me. Is that like mafia, or is that like us with our little friends in Milwaukee? I mean, like, we don't care what you think of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I definitely don't care about them. That's
I don't
sure.
care about you. I don't care about your weak-ass city. I don't care what you think of me. You can have that scummy coach of yours. I'm done with them now. Done. I will root against them forever after what I just saw. You know
Scotty,
what? Here's another thing, too.
Scotty all over Central Florida next week against Cincinnati.
Oh, I like you read about it. Now, here's the deal. You know what's great about it is? You know what's great about Cincinnati? They still don't matter at anything. They don't even matter. And you're going to find out how little they matter when they pick those teams for that playoff and they leave you out of it. That's how little anyone thinks of you. So you can do whatever you want to beat all these crappy teams you play and that crappy pansy-ass schedule you play in that crappy-ass conference you play in, but no one cares about you. So you can do your little scummy move tonight And then it doesn't matter because no one cares. No one cares what you do. That's why you play on Friday night. And not on Saturday on CBS when it matters, right? That's who they're putting in the playoff, not teams like you. God, that just ruined my night. I mean, it really did. God, that was awful.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so the last thing I wanted to say about the golf, going back to that really quick, Carver High, so I know you got Thomas, blah, 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 but is there anyone like of that group? I remember I brought up to Michael Williams, like Rose or Louis. Is there a, you know, Shoffley, Casey, Reed, Lefty, is there any Tiger, is there Rory, anybody, Webb Simpson, is there anybody that you believe will make a charge from nowhere and get in this thing Saturday? Like out of nowhere, someone like no one thought Rory was going to have a 6-under today.
Right.
If he did that, and I don't think he'll do that tomorrow. I don't even think
He does it again, he's going to be in the mix. But from guys that are not, you know, right there, you wouldn't normally think. Rose at -7, he always plays well at Augusta. Always. So I would not count Rose out. I think he's in the mix. I love Tommy Fleetwood's game. Fleetwood's at -7 right now. I'd keep an eye on him. I'd keep an eye on him this weekend. A little further down, you know, I love Patty Reed, who's at -6 right now. He's in the mix. I think he still has to finish up. He's got a couple holes left out there. I think the problem for not so much Phil, because Phil's already done with two. So when he plays tomorrow, he's going to be just playing 18. I think the big problem for Tiger tomorrow is that he's got to play 25 holes. I think that for Tiger and his stamina now, that could be difficult for him. How about, hey, we haven't brought up your boy, Bernard Langer. How about him? Geez, making the cut, -3, tremendous job. I don't obviously expect him to win, but wow, what a story that is. And then after that, I think it's tough right now, -3 or worse, to say that they're in the mix. They need a big day. There's still some guys could do it.
Church just said to me that not only did what happened with Cincinnati against East Carolina, but they also did a fake punt when they were up 42-17. So there's another reason for the coach to, you know, get in his face.
He was not happy.
A fake punt at 42-17, and then when you're up 49-17, you go for more with 10 seconds left in the game. That's unbelievable to me. It truly is unbelievable. All right, so let me ask you this question so we can get into some more exciting things, because I could care less what they do because they matter so little in the grand scheme of things in life. And although I will say this, I think the guy has done a great job there with that program. I won't deny that he's made them a tough team. I won't deny that they're good. I won't deny that they're fairly exciting. And I won't deny that they can play. It has no bearing on my point. My point is you just got to take a knee and end the game and stop being a jerk. You can't be a jerk, a low class jerk, when you're rubbing it in on some team and kicking their ass 6 ways till Sunday. And then you stick a knife in their chest when they're getting whacked and you put more on them. I mean, that's it just, you know, in circles, in coaching circles, what that guy did is just so low class. Everyone knows it. It's simple. There's no coach in the world that wants to have someone do that to their kids or to their coaching staff. What that guy just did to them is really, it tells you all you need to know about Luke Fickell. That's it. That's all you need to know. That's it. He just defined who he is tonight for everyone to see. That he's a jerk. That's it. I don't care if he's the nicest guy in the world and everyone loves him and his neighbors love him and his wife loves him and his kids love him. He's a jerk coach for what he did tonight. You can't even argue it. You can't even argue it with me. It's not even worth it. Don't even try to argue with me because I'll slap you around. I don't care who you are. Bottom line is this. The Bills, they have a huge game against Arizona on Sunday, right? And so they're coming off this emotional win over Seattle. Now, the two games that are interesting are how will the Bills do against Arizona, who lost to the Dolphins, right, by 3 in Arizona last week? Will they lose again at home to Buffalo, or will they respond? And will Seattle respond going to SoFi to take on the Rams? How do you like your Bills' chances against a team that lost at home, a heartbreaker to the Dolphins last week, now playing another game at home, second game in a row at home, coming off a loss at home, a tough loss? And how do you like Seattle's chances after losing going to take on the Rams in a divisional game in L.A.?
Yeah, I think the Bills absolutely have an opportunity to win in Arizona on Sunday. You know, there's a couple things at play here. I think Arizona coming off of a bad loss at home is interesting, but Arizona also, and you tie this together, Arizona and Seattle have a monster game coming up on Thursday night. So they are the Thursday night game next week in Seattle. So that's a big game for Arizona. I'm not saying they're going to look ahead and pass the Bills on Sunday, but a tricky spot for them. The Bills have the bye after that. I don't think that this game is going to be the lighting up the scoreboard like everybody thinks it is. It's a monster total right now at FanDuel, 56.5. I know Kaplan said today it could be one of the highest scoring games in the NFL this year. I'm not so sure about that. I think that both teams are going to, both of their defenses are going to play a little bit better. The Bills' defense has started to cause some turnovers. I think the Bills win this game, but I think it's in the 20s. I think it's in the mid to high 20s.
So you think all the proclamations of it being this high-scoring, wild game over, it's not going to happen, and it's going to stay under?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit lower scoring. I think that the defense is tightened up this week. I think that both coaches, I think McDermott will have a good plan, and Leslie Frazier for Kyler Murray. And I think that Arizona, who has a very fast D, is going to have some plans for Josh Allen. So I hope it's exciting. However the Bills win, I don't care. But I don't think it's going to be this 45-40 game that everybody thinks it's going to be.
So let me ask you, you mentioned Arizona. They have a big game with Seattle the following week. You said it was Thursday or something.
Yeah.
So, I hit that Arizona win over Seattle in Arizona in the Valley, that wild overtime game, right? I hit that game. I think that when they go to Seattle, Seattle's going to get even with them for that loss in Arizona in the desert. I think Thursday night I'd be on Seattle right now. I haven't looked at it. I don't know what the number is going to be, et cetera. But I think I'm going to go I'm on Seattle against the Rams, and I'm going to take Seattle against Arizona when they play them again. And I don't think it's going to be a 3-point overtime game either. I think they're going to beat their ass.
Right now, 5.5 for Seattle on Thursday night. FanDuel does have the early lineup. 5.5 is the line for that game. And I think you're right. I think that Seattle will beat them on Thursday in that second game when they play again. And I actually think that Seattle is going to beat the Rams on Sunday. I think this is a good bounce-back spot for the Seahawks. You know this, and we say this all the time with the Rams. McVay does just enough to not show Jared Goff's, his warts and the things that he doesn't do well. McVay always has a sharp game plan to keep Goff's weaknesses hidden. And it seems like every week Seattle is in the type of game where you need to score a ton of points to stay with them. Even last week, even though Seattle lost and they really weren't ever in the game, they still scored 34 points. So you need to score points against Seattle, and I don't know if the Rams are going to be able to keep up with them, even if their defense stinks. I'm not sure if the Rams are going to be able to score enough.
They don't seem like a team, for me, for my taste, that's very inclined to lose two in a row at any point. I just think that they're capable of bouncing back and winning after a loss like no other. Now, I think a lot of people think Tampa Bay's in that boat this week, that they got smoked by the Saints 38-3, and that they're just going to bounce back and beat Carolina's ass. I think Seattle, I trust them more after a loss than I do Tampa. And I'm just being honest. And I'm telling you, I lost so much respect for Tampa with that beating they took in Tampa by the Saints. I have a hard time believing you can lose a game 38-3 and then go play in the Super Bowl. I just, against an NFC opponent, a divisional opponent, whacked you. It was 38-0. Let's get real here. They kicked a field goal with 10 seconds left. Bottom line is, they got smoked. How do you ever recover from that and live that down? They're not going to the Super Bowl, that team.
Yeah, there's three losses on the Tampa Bay, not even losses, three games, because one of them they did end up winning. There's three games that Tampa's played this year that kind of just stick out to me that I can't trust this team right now in January. Last Sunday was clearly one of them. The game Monday night, the Monday night before that, where they struggled with the Giants.
The Giants.
At MetLife. And then that Thursday night game against the Bears. You know, that you know, they have so much more talent off. And I know they've had guys hurt at wide receiver all year. They can't lose to the Bears. The Bears stink. The Bears can't score points on anybody. You know, those games for me just kind of say that in January, in a big spot, playoff game, I don't know if I can back this Tampa team. No matter, they're going to make the playoffs, but I'm not going to be able to back them depending on the matchup.
So, you know, we heard Adam Kaplan today on Coast to Coast talk about all the Finn's injuries going into this game with the Chargers. And it sounded to me like he was like, they're not going to win this game because they got so many problems with injuries with Van Noy and others. They got problems all over the both sides of the ball with injuries all of a sudden. And that the Chargers will finally take advantage of that and win a game. But you've seen the Chargers lose every game they play in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes left. Are you buying that the Fins will lose to the Chargers?
I think that there is a good possibility that it can happen. I'm just going off. The Chargers are in every game each week. And one of these weeks, they're going to come out on the right side of these last second games. Like, it could be this week. They cannot lose these games like this every single week.
How is it though that, like, you know, we'll come back and talk about the rest of the NFL game. All right, so we were talking about some of the NFL games. So the point I was trying to make is, how about how, like, there's no respect whatsoever for the Dolphins, who've won, what, four in a row, whatever it is? And ever since they put Tua in there, he's won two games. Fitz had won a couple games. They're right up, you know, aren't they up Buffalo's rear end? I mean, they're right there. So how is it that you win four in a row, you go out to Zona, you steal that one with Tua, he beats Kyler, and then you go home, and I understand the injuries. So I understand people are saying, all right, they got some problems on both sides of the ball, so they're going to lose this game. But, you know, you could go to the old next man up philosophy, right, with a team that's been as hot as they're pretty hot, aren't they?
Yeah, they have. I think that the couple things with Miami and why maybe people aren't, I'll not say taking them seriously yet, but just look at the last 2 weeks. They were severely outgained in both of those games. The Ram game, they were outgained by about 350 yards. They had a special teams touchdown, a defensive touchdown. They had all these things, and then they get another defensive touchdown against Arizona last week. I think that people feel that those things aren't going to happen for you every week. You know, those defensive and special teams touchdowns. Listen, you get them, you deserve to win it, whatever, but you can't rely on those things all the time. And the Dolphins have been kind of heavily outgained here against the Rams and Arizona. And they came out 2-0 ahead of the game, but I don't think that people are ready yet to completely buy in. And this Charger team has lost. Like we said, they lose in the last second every single week. They're in every game. They don't get blown out by anybody. And they're going to come out on the right side of one of these things.
Do you think if they keep losing all these games, they're going to fire Anthony Lynn?
Man, that's tough. Because here's the thing, though. Yes, they're losing close games, but you drafted a quarterback, and he's played really well. Doesn't he get credit for the development of how well Herbert has played since being put into the games? Like, he's gotten better. It seems like he gets better every week, and he hasn't been bad at all. He throws for 300-plus. Right. He's accurate. Does Lynn get a little bit of credit for that and just say,
no,
you know, maybe no. But it's hard to say. It's not like he's getting whacked every week.
So, another team with all kinds of injury problems are the 49ers, and they're playing on Bourbon Street. I remember last year I hit a huge, I think it was last year, right? The big Niner win down there.
Yeah.
Where they beat the Saints in New Orleans. But now they're going down there, and they are literally naked with no clothes anywhere in sight with injuries.
Bare bones.
And you know what I mean? And the Saints are playing really good football right now. Almost every aspect of the game they have covered completely. Offensively, passing game, Kamara's going off. They got their star receiver back. Their defense has started to make, big plays and stops. They kicked the crap out of the Buccaneers in Tampa. Do you have a hard time not laying that 9.5 against San Francisco, all beat up with the game being in New Orleans?
I don't have a hard time with it at all. I think that this could be a little bit of a freight train that's going to run them over situation. Niners, it's bare bones, like you said. Skeleton crew, they're sending down there to New Orleans this weekend. And I think they're in for a tough one. I think the Saints cover this game easily on Sunday.
All right, so I just wanted to hit a couple of these other ones. The Eagles and G-Men, what do you think of – because you remember the Giants were kicking the Eagles' ass in that game at MetLife, 21-10 with 5 minutes left, and they blew the game because they suck. But the bottom line is they should have won that game, should have, would have, could have. But the fact is they didn't. And now Philly's got them in Philadelphia laying whatever it is, the 3.5. Are you – and they're getting Alshon Jeffrey back, Miles Sanders back. And will this guy, Carson Wentz, ever do anything besides suck? I mean, honestly, because there's still people saying they should have never given him that job. They should have kept Foles. The fact is, people have said he's regressed. Who are they, the Eagles, and who is Carson Wentz? Is he a winner or not?
No, the pressure's on Wentz, and it seems like every week it gets ratcheted up a little bit more. You know, the Giants, say what you want about them, it seems like they cover Scotty almost every week. You know, the Giants have been really good. I know that on the road, they've covered 8 in a row. They're 8-0 against the spread in their last 8 road games, but this game is at MetLife on Sunday, where they haven't been as good covering, but they did cover against the Bucs last Monday night, to 2 Mondays ago in that Monday night game. But over a field goal, right now it's at 4 at FanDuel. I kind of like the Giants. I saw divisional home dogs 12-2 against the spread this year. I think that the Giants will be in this game. They might blow it again like they did the last time they played Philadelphia, but I think that they will be in the mix, and I like the 4 points right now with them.
So does Patricia get fired if the Lions don't beat Washington? Is it at that point, or is it at the end of the season that they whack him?
I don't think it matters at this point. He's getting fired. Whether you do it, I don't think they do it now. They'll probably at this point just wait till the end of the year, but he's finished. And I'm so down on him, Scotty, because all he's done for the last 2.5 years is bellyache about how he had this big mess to clean up in Detroit. But really, what are you talking about? You've made it worse. Caldwell was 9-7. You know, he made the playoffs a couple of years. You know, the team at least won games. This guy's come in and they lose all the time now. So I don't like how he's bellyached that he had some big mess to clean up, but he's done worse than the guy before him. He's about finished. He's got a couple more games left as a head coach, and then it's back to the assistants booth for him.
So you don't like the Sunday night game in Gillette with the Ravens and Pats because you think the Patriots are so awful they don't deserve to be in prime time for our Sunday night feature.
I like the fact that it's going to be like last Sunday and there's an opportunity to make some money and get the head on the pillow by halftime. I mean, that's a good thing, right? Last Sunday, you were able to go to sleep if you had the Saints. You didn't have to watch the game anymore. And maybe we'll get another pillow at pillow on the head on the pillow by halftime game because they're a lot better than New England. I know it's kind of a weird line. You'd think they should probably be favored by more, but I think Baltimore takes care of business against the Pats. The Pats are not the Pats anymore. Let's be fair. It's time to say it. They're just not. And so now I got to watch them in prime time 2 weeks in a row. I mean, Monday night with the Pats and now again on Sunday. God, come on. Give me a break.
All right. Fair enough. So a couple things I wanted to throw out there. A is just to real quick. The U.S. soccer team has been, you know, training and playing. They played a game with Rania. It was a 0-0 draw. I don't even know who they played. All I know is it's Wales. Same whole thing with this team. Isn't it crazy? I know Pulisic didn't play. I know because he's got the hammies back at Chelsea. But isn't it amazing to you how it's like every time this team plays, nothing ever happens? I mean, they can't even score an effing goal.
No creativity whatsoever. I know that they haven't really gotten to play with this whole crop of younger guys that they're starting to integrate into the team. It's a new era of U.S. men's soccer because, you know, the group that we've seen for the last 10 to 15 years, you know, the Michael Bradleys and the Donovans and the Dempseys and all those guys.
They're all old.
They're all finished now. So now it's time for Pulisic and it's time for Reina. And this is going to be but they are still also very young and they have not gotten a chance to play together a lot on the international stage. And when we start this World Cup qualifying cycle in the spring, that's where these guys are really going to have to start gelling and playing together.
And in Portuguese, that means they're terrible. All right. So here's the other thing. Did you see our boy T-Bud with the, stare down with Kel Brook today?
I just saw it on here.
It did not seem to make Kel Brook very happy. And then they did a press conference where I think they had them both virtually on at the same time doing an interview and whoever was asking them questions and they were both on the monitor and I didn't hear a word they said because I was on the air, but you could tell that Crawford gets under his skin and Brooke was just absolutely foaming at the mouth. He wanted to kill him. But the problem is, I mean, you could tell how mad he was. It was just written all over his face that he wanted to beat this kid's ass. The problem is that he can't beat his ass.
No.
And that Crawford's going to beat his ass. That's what his problem is. His problem is he has to sit there and take it from this young guy. And he's an old guy that's kind of washed. Kel Brook's best days are long gone. But he's got to sit there and take that from this guy, the champ. Take that abuse, verbal abuse, just humiliating him. And then he's going to have to go out tomorrow night and get his ass beat again with fists. How crazy is that?
Like, and T-Bud is a heavy favorite, as we know. I mean, he's minus 1,300 on the money line. You can't play that. So if you really want to bet this fight tomorrow night, there's a couple ways you could. If you think that T-Bud won't completely destroy him and it's going to go to the, you know, go 12 and it'll go to the cards where T-Bud will probably still win, you can actually get Crawford points or decision at plus 250, which isn't awful.
Do you know what the knockout is, Bryce?
Minus
gonna knock him out.
Minus 210 is the knockout price. So you're laying $2. How about this one? I like this one. I think rounds 4 to 6. They also have a group round betting prop on FanDuel. I think T-Bud beats him between the fourth and the sixth round. You can get that at plus 460. That's where I'm gonna go.
I like that bet.
Fourth to the sixth round, or if you think he's going to completely.
What about after the sixth? What do they got in the seventh and eighth?
Seven to nine is plus 270, and the 10th through the 12th is plus 420. And if you think he's going to clean them,
I think those are better. Seven through nine and 10 through 12.
Okay,
both of those are still, but I mean, a 7 through 9 pays less than the 10 through 12. The money rounds. If he knocks him out in the money rounds, I could see that for sure. And I cannot believe that you just told me that number's in the fours.
Yeah, plus 420 rounds 10 through 12.
Wow, that, I'm all over that. I'm all over both of those right there. I got no problem laying a couple chips there on both of those, 7 through 9 and 10 through 12. He's going to knock him out. And then the other thing I wanted to bring up with you is college hockey. I know you saw Wisconsin playing Michigan tonight. Now, there's no NHL for a while till January at the earliest, if they get it in at all. Pray to God they have a hockey season, because I thought the Stanley Cup playoffs were great with or without fans. But does college hockey turn you on? Because I can tell you, watching the I'm not into the Ontario Hockey League or the Quebec Juniors because they have no more checking. Yeah. What could be worse than hockey without checking? Honestly, like, you might as well play chess or checkers, because if there's no checking in hockey, what's the point of playing?
The college hockey is tough. I don't get too into it. When there's a really big game, I'll throw it on. When they play those big outdoor games, I like watching it. And when you get to the actual tournament at the end of the year, I will watch that as well. You know, the Bean Pot is cool when they do that one with all the Boston area teams. Frozen Four is excellent. So when you get to the end, I don't mind tuning it in. But in general, like a game like tonight, like, I'm not watching that game. I mean, there's
how about the Irish tomorrow, Carper? I know how excited you and I get when the Irish roll. I'm still a closet Notre Dame fan underneath my Canes love affair, because I grew up going to Notre Dame games with my dad in South Bend. Never missed a game in Joe Montana's entire career. Saw him play every single game, including the Cotton Bowl in 79 against Houston with a comeback and the pass to Chris Haynes in the corner of the end zone. I got that all out of one breath.
Yeah, the line's gone down to 11, Scotty. 11.5 it's gone down to on FanDuel. A lot of money coming in on the Eagles. I think the Irish roll tomorrow. Let's go.
And I'm taking the Canes in Blacksburg. Very excited. We'll try to hook up with Morenci next on the bench. All right, Pharrell on the bench. Morenci's up next with Sports Rage. I don't know if he saw that Fickell guy rub it in East Carolina's face tonight and hand that ball off with 10 seconds left and let the kid go 75 yards. Fake punt up 42-17. Instead of taking a knee at the end of the game, he lets him run for another touchdown. Then they celebrate on the sideline for 15 minutes, banging a drum. I don't know about you, but I'd probably take a swing at the guy after the game if I were the East Carolina coach.
You know what, Scotty? I laid the points with the Bearcats, so I guess I have to, you know, cash my ticket. But you're right, and we've seen a lot.
But that was already cashed long before that.
I know.
You had the money covered at 42-17. You had that number.
Who's he a disciple of, right? Urban Meyer that did the same thing. Urban Meyer, bro, remember years ago? Urban Meyer did a fake punt, Scotty, against the New Mexico Lobos, bro. Like, against Sheriff Lobo. And it was, like, literally, like, 66-0, and he ran a fake punt late in the football game. You know, these guys, you know, the assistants are usually a hell of a lot like the guys that they coached under. It's classless. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. College coaches are about as sleazy. Like, there are pimps that have more class than college coaches. I'm just being real.
I think it was really scummy move. I have no respect at all for that guy for what he did. Like, I mean, East Carolina's bad enough. Just don't pour whiskey on the open wound. My God, just take the knee and the game's over. You don't have any problems. Now he's got people like me just ruthlessly attacking him and his family members. I honestly, I said earlier, I hope he gets COVID. I do. Yeah. I mean, I think that was such a D move, honestly. All right, Morenci, have a great show.
And nice guys like Herm Edwards get it, and you get the jerk-off coaches that just run the score up, and they'll never get it.
All right, so I'm going to steal Morenci a whiskey at Mafia's wedding tomorrow, we'll see how that goes.
Mafia.
All right, bro. I'll see you next week, everybody. I'll see you on Coast to Coast Monday at 4. Have a great weekend, everybody. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Check out.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.